This week the question is, how have you changed in the last year?
I feel a bit unspiritual. I just asked Cynthia, have you, and she said, I've got closer to God. Well, my response was just, my hairline has receded and I'm... I know that's the case because every year I get sunburned just a little bit there. I just have a strip of sunburn and that's how much hair I've lost. Anyway, you don't know about that. You don't need to know. You don't care. Moving on. How long does it take to change? Is it a week? 28 days? How long before you look at someone and think, oh, you've changed? If you've changed your hairstyle in quite a dramatic fashion, people might notice quicker. But how long would it take someone to know? If you've decided, I want to be more generous. You've decided, I want to be more forgiving. I want to be more outgoing. How long do you reckon it would take people to know? Month? Week? I've been reading a bit about this week. According to some, in like Jewish ancient tradition, right? 40 days is the amount of time it takes to grow something. So for them it's 40 days for an embryo in the womb to grow and kind of be considered. That's 40 day period. Interesting, isn't it? 40 days. Similarly, kind of, it takes 40 days to transform yourself. So that was their thinking. 40 days to transform yourself. If you want to be purified, it took 40, well, I want to say 40 millilitres of water. Some of you don't work in millilitres, do you? What's that, 40 ounces? I don't know. Is an ounce an amount of pints? Is it a pint? What's less than a pint? 20 ounces. Right, whatever. Some amount. Anyway, it's none of these things. Anyway, it's not millilitres, because obviously they're Jewish people, so it's sayers. C apostrophe A-H. Is that a... Yeah, cool. It's 40 of those. 40 millilitres. In old money, 40 ounces, something like that. 40 amounts of water. I think that's interesting. 40 amount. If you want to be ritually purified, it takes you 40 amounts of water. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights as the waters covered the earth. That's kind of where the thinking comes from. So 40 days it takes to change. I've been thinking about this week. I think 40 days is a long time, isn't it? For those of you given up something, I know that Alan's giving up pork pies. It's a long time, isn't it? Have you not? Right, you've given up. You told me last week you'd given up. Oh, charity made that. Sorry, Alan, to cast dispersions on your self-control or will, ability to give up pork pies for any amount of time. Anyway, for those of you who have given up something, be that smoking or giving up fatty food or whatever it is, 40 days is a long time. I'm really interested by this passage from Moses. Because God calls Moses up the mountain and he is there 40 days and 40 nights. Moses is up there a long time. So God is calling to Moses. He says, come up here, I want to talk with you. And Moses is up there 40 days and 40 nights. He's up there a long time. If God said to me, you need to come up and I want to talk with you for 40 days and 40 nights. Honestly, my calendar's full. That was a challenge to me this week. I was reading this passage and Moses was up there 40 days. How many of us give God enough time? How many of us give ourselves enough time? If I said to you, 40 days, 40 nights, you're going to need that to change. You want to make a change in your life, it's going to take 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you would be like, to be honest, I just haven't got the time. I just haven't got the time. Do we need to make more of a habit to stop and rest? Do we need to make more of a habit to give God time? Do we need to make more of a habit to give ourselves time? I've been reading this passage and it's challenged me. It's challenged me this week. And I really like the first line. Come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I'll tell you one of my pet hates, and it's this. I'm sure many of you have experienced it. You know, when someone's talking to you like this, all of the time. Yeah, we've encountered this. And they're like, oh yeah, I'll be with you at once, yeah, oh interesting, yeah, fascinating stuff. One of my, I'm really sorry if I've done that to you. Annoying. And, or when you're on the phone to someone and they ask you the same question three times, have you had that? Because you know they're watching Pointless. Like, you know that's going on in the background. Even I called my dad the other day and we were just having a brief chat. I didn't mind, it was only a brief chat, I wasn't expecting. But I could hear in the background the rugby was happening. So we're having this conversation halfway through. I said, to be honest, it is a bad game, isn't it? I can't complain because I was doing exactly the same thing at home. But yeah, when you're trying to talk to someone and they just don't give you their full attention, it's annoying, isn't it? Where you just feel that you're secondary importance. And I was reading this passage, this very one, come up to me on the mountain and stay there. And I read it in the King James Version. And it says this, and I think this is really interesting. When God says to Moses this line, come up to me on the mountain and be there. Or come up to me on the mountain and be all there. When God says to us, he says, come up to me on the mountain. And for once, won't you pay attention? God says to us, will you come and spend time with me and maybe just for once put your phone away? For once, will you turn the TV off? Come up to me on the mountain and will you actually pay enough attention in order to see and hear what's going on? God says to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and spend some time there. We need to give ourselves time. We need to give ourselves and we need to give God time in order to actually stop and enjoy the present. Einstein said that kids, and I know this is true, kids, they do not have a past and they do not have a future. All that kids have is the present moment. All that they have is the present moment. And as adults, we miss out. Because we're always thinking about yesterday. We're always thinking about tomorrow. But will we ever be able to stop and listen and be all there on the mountain to hear what God's saying to us? I know that this is true of children. I know, I hope I don't talk about that too much, but he's going through a stage of micro tantrums, which are really funny, where it's like, where he doesn't want something, he like throws his head back and he cries. And if you were to walk in at that moment, you would think that we are the worst parents in the world. Like at that moment when we have removed the deadly screwdriver from him, and told him, no, you're actually not allowed to play with that. Well, he's about to put his finger in the plug and be like, no, you're not allowed. If you walked in at that moment and you saw his reaction, you would think we were terrible, because his reaction is so extreme. Honestly, it's like with the throwing his head back, screaming, whacking his head. So what I do is I get a small squeaky toy with a flashing light, and suddenly the world is good again. He's happy. He's laughing. The world's good. Because he doesn't remember the past. He's not worried about the future. For him, the present is all that matters. And God says to Moses, come up on the mountain and won't you be all there? Let's not stress about tomorrow. Let's not regret yesterday. Can we for today enjoy the present moment? Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, God, give us today our daily bread. Because he intends that to be a prayer that we say every day, because we can't spend our life thinking about tomorrow or the day after or worrying about it. God says to Moses, when you come up the mountain and when you be all there. If we want to make changes in our life, if we want to become more generous, if we want to become more kind, if we want to be known as someone who's more outgoing, who's more friendly, who's more caring, who's more patient, that kind of stuff takes time and it takes energy and it takes us the self-control to stop and pay attention and listen to what God is saying to us. Come up the mountain and be all there. Can we be present? Can we be attentive? Can we be listening to what God says to us? So, Moses gets the call from God, and God says, come up the mountain, and this time, Moses, pay attention. Because I get the sense a little bit that Moses was a bit like me and has a very short attention span. So God's like, Moses, this time you've actually got to pay attention. 40 days, you've actually got to pay attention. So, Moses goes up. And you can imagine the scene. And I know you can imagine the scene, because we've created the scene here for us to imagine it with. Moses goes up Mount Sinai, and he goes up on the mountain, and there's fire at the top because Moses is about to meet with God. If I were to show you this picture, if I were to present to you a mountain with fire at the top, and I said you are going to meet God for 40 days and 40 nights, how would you feel? Sad, hot, scared, terrified. And what's more, when Moses is going up the mountain, he is about to receive the Ten Commandments. Not only are you about to meet God, you're about to meet God who's going to give you a whole lot of rules. Did you feel scared? Pretty sure I would. Did you feel nervous? Dubious? God says to you, come up on the mountain and be all there and I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments. I must admit, I've read through Leviticus and there are an awful lot of rules. And sometimes I do slip into the idea that the job of God in his communications with us is to give us more rules so that we can stop having as much fun. I don't know if you were ever taught this as a child or you ever got the sense or at any time lapse into it. But you come to God and you're kind of told, come up the mountain, the fiery mountain, to meet with God and he's going to give you a whole load of rules. That was kind of how I was taught the Ten Commandments as a kid. Thou shalt not. And insert something that would be quite fun. Now, I'm not saying all alike, obviously, like, murder's not fun. As a kid, I was never particularly keen on murdering. But honestly, lying is hilarious. Because as a kid, like, you could tell all kinds of lies and make people believe. I shouldn't really admit this in the church, but I once managed to get someone to do, like, a tannoy announcement to my parents. I don't know why, I think I just wanted some attention, but I didn't think they were paying me, so I just pretended to be lost and got them to do a tannoy announcement. Anyway, terrible, isn't it? I shouldn't really, I don't know. Clearly you're all much holier than me and never did anything when I was a kid. Fine, I'm going to stop talking. But anyway, I must admit, those kind of things, I thought they were quite fun. And so when I'm taught that God says, thou shalt not lie, then kind of part of me thinks, oh, actually, that's a shame. I could get up to all kinds of mischief by lying. And so then it kind of grows in your head, doesn't it, to like, when God wants to meet you, he just wants to give you a lot of rules to stop you having fun. It's kind of how I understood the Ten Commandments. Why would I want to spend 40 days and 40 nights doing that? Doesn't sound great. And then someone explained to me the Ten Commandments in a slightly different way. I've shared a bit of this before, but I want to share it again because I think it changed my way of reading it. The Ten Commandments are not a list of these other ways to stop having fun. The Ten Commandments are called the Ketubah. And here's a picture of a Ketubah on the screen. And the Ketubah was the stuff you agreed before you got married. Which actually I think is a good way of doing marriage. If you're about to get married to someone in this country, you just get them a very expensive ring. And then they say yes. And then you get married. And then after you've got married, you start saying to each other, oh, we're going to do that, are we? Oh, I didn't realise that was the agreement. Oh, I'm on bin duty now, am I? Do you know what? I don't know if any of you experienced that. In a relationship, like, you start living together and suddenly these rules suddenly kind of have to make, and it can cause a lot of friction and argument. Oh, we're not allowed to spend money on that, are we? Oh, okay, I didn't know that. The Jews, I think, have got it right. Thank you so much. What they do is they say, we're going to sort these rules out before we get married. What we're going to do is we're going to come up with a ketubah and we both have to agree it before we get married. And so they would come up with a contract and you could put anything you like in the contract. Anything you like. Like, on this night, we have to agree that we're going to have a date night, we're going to go out. On you are the one who is in charge of taking the bins out. That is your job for the rest of our lives. Okay, that could go in the thing. You have to support Manchester City. That was the kind of thing that I would put in mind. I'm joking. Boaz can support any team he likes, apart from Manchester United. It's not for that. Anyway, they do it before the marriage. And then if both sides agree, they sign the contract and they can get married. This is what's happening in the Ten Commandments. Because at the end of it, when God gives the Israelites the Ten Commandments, then it says, when they've kind of agreed to it, then Israel stands up as one and they say, we agree. Israel said, we will do all that the earth has spoken. Now the agreement has to be put into writing. Israel stands up and says, we're going to do what's been said. We'll agree to this. The Ten Commandments are not a list of thou shalt not from an angry God trying to stop you having fun. The Ten Commandments are an agreement on a relationship. Thou shalt not make graven images. Because you know that in a relationship it doesn't work if one person keeps looking at someone else and judging you compared to them. It doesn't work. Thou shalt not lie. If you want a relationship to work, you can't be telling me something and then telling someone else the exact opposite. It doesn't work. So God says to us, if you want to come into a relationship with me, this is the best way of living. Don't commit adultery, it'll wreck your society. Don't murder, obviously. Don't lie, because it's going to develop something in your character that means that it's going to mess you and your family up. The Ten Commandments are not an angry God telling you to not have fun. The Ten Commandments is an invitation to marry God. The Ten Commandments is an invitation to a relationship. And they agree to it. When we encounter God, we come before him. And he says, come up here and pay attention. Come up to me. Focus on me. Put down your phone for a minute. Listen to what I have to say. And some of us, when we hear that God wants to spend time with us, we think, he's just going to give me a whole load of work. If you knew what I've been up to, I would not want to meet God. But no. We go up the mountain, the fiery mountain, and we encounter a God who says, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a relationship with you. If we would just stop and listen to what God wants to say to us, if we would give God time to hear what he has to say to us, we would discover a God whose arms are wide open and says, I want to have a relationship with you. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? God says to Moses, come up the mountain and be all there. A challenge for us this week, can we live in the present? Can we stop worrying about tomorrow? Can we stop regretting yesterday? Can we actually enjoy this present moment as a gift from God for all that it brings? And will we give time? Will we give God time so we can hear him and hear his voice to us with his arms open wide, inviting us to a relationship? Inviting us to a relationship. Let's pray, shall we? God, we thank you for this moment that you have given us. We thank you that this is a gift. That the fact we are alive right now is a gift. We are sorry for the times we have filled our lives with so many distractions that we haven't been able to stop and centre ourselves and listen to you. Father, we thank you that you are calling us into a relationship with you that is for our own benefit, that is the best way of living, that enriches our lives. We choose to say yes to you this morning, God. We choose to hear what you are saying to us. And we choose to stop long enough to hear your voice of love speaking over us. May we live like that this week.
This is what a Jesuit priest said. The present moment is never intolerable. What's intolerable is what's going to happen in the next 4 hours. To have your body here at 11:30 and your mind at 3:30, that's what causes us suffering.
Father, this week, may we live with our mind and our body in the same place. May we hear your voice. May we give ourselves time to connect with you, to enjoy the present moment. That is always a gift. In Jesus' name. Amen.